You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville of Alabama blocked the promotions of more than 400 military officers for nearly 10 months last year. Tuberville was protesting a Biden administration policy allowing paid leave for some service members seeking abortion services. He eventually allowed those promotions to go forward. But our next guest says that's just one recent example of lawmakers drawing the military into partisan political debates. She writes that it's time for elected officials and armed forces leadership to rededicate themselves to the nonpartisan ethic that's defined their relationship and that the public trust and national security are at stake. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you see lawmakers putting more pressure on military leaders or the Defense Department's appointees? How important is it to you that those people stay out of party politics? Do you think that's still possible these days? If you've served in the armed forces, what did that nonpartisan ethic mean for you? What did it look like? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Risa Brooks is a professor of political science at Marquette University and a non-resident senior associate in the International Security Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. She's the author of the book Shaping Strategy, The Civil-Military Politics of Strategic Assessment. Her recent piece in Foreign Affairs magazine is called The Creeping Politicization of the U.S. Military. Risa, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Before we get into the warning signs you're seeing, let's start with what things are supposed to look like. What is the relationship between military leadership and our elected and appointed officials supposed to work like?
Yes, that's important. So we start out with the Constitution and the principles that it enshrines. And essentially, if you boil that down, what it says is that elected political leaders have final say over what the military does, how it's run, and when it's used. At the same time, they also have obligations to listen to military advice and respect its political neutrality and nonpartisanship. The military has an obligation to serve society as a whole, and while doing that, it is supposed to, its members, its leadership in particular, is supposed to advise civilians, help make decisions in a way that reflects the interests of the country as a whole and not their own personal partisan political views. So that's how it's supposed to work.
It might seem obvious, but why? Why was that such an important core founding principle that stuck around and is still around today? Why is that so important?
Yes. Yeah, so the military, the underlying idea is the military is not the elected leadership itself, right? The American people elect political leaders to serve their interests, and they get to make those decisions because they've been voted in. The military doesn't have that kind of privilege or role according to the Constitution. And for that reason, it's not supposed to be advocating for a particular policy or opinion, and its personnel are supposed to remain out of those kinds of contentious debates or elections or anything like that.
We've seen over the last few decades, probably longer, politicians from both parties try to use the military maybe as a backdrop for their political campaigns, use the concept of the troops for politics. But you see something different going on, I think, just in the last maybe decade or so, coming from a particular part of a particular party, the Republican Party. What do you see happening that worries you?
Sure. So what I call politicization of the military, drawing the military into situations that are partisan in nature or into debates about contested issues, isn't actually very new. It starts sort of in the 1990s when the military emerges after the Vietnam era and is sort of rebuilt and becomes very popular. And it remains that way, in fact, for decades at the top of the list of institutions in which Americans have confidence in. Very popular. And with that, naturally, politicians have tried to sort of borrow on that popularity. So, have military personnel in the background of a speech or, you know, try to associate themselves with the military in some way. And this sort of form of politicization has been around for a long time. What's different now is it used to be that politicians would sort of praise the military, and now you see a lot more criticism. And in some quarters, you know, downright really disparaging commentary, especially about senior military leadership and the country's officers. And that sort of twist of criticism, combined with a lot more sort of assertive uses, drawing the military into these sort of central political debates, is really a shift. And has come from, as you mentioned, not every part of the political spectrum. It's really people in a particular side of politics on the right side of the Republican Party, some people might describe it like that, that are really pushing in this particular way.
What are some of the messages that worry you the most coming, say, from members of Congress?
Yeah, I think the messages that worry me personally are when I think about what the country's adversaries see when some of these politicians, senators, et cetera, members of Congress, say things like the U.S. military is weak, it's not focused on its correct priorities, its military leadership is, you know, I'm not going to use all the phrases, but, you know, really ugly things sometimes are being said about them, that they don't care about the institution, that they're just concerned with the military-industrial complex, things like this. I think that's really bad because of the signal it says sends internationally. I think it's also really bad for morale potentially in the military. And it's overall just not a good thing for the unity of the institution to have people disparaging its top leadership like this. So I find it extremely concerning. And I think that so far, the U.S. military has withstood a lot of these pressures, but it's growing and increasingly worrisome.
One of the main messages that I think leads to some of what you're talking about is accusations that the military is, to use the commonly used phrase, woke, meaning if someone promotes concerns about racism in the military or blocking white supremacist infiltration of the military, the accusation that that is wokeness of some kind and that leads to weakness of some kind. Is that one of the fronts you're watching most closely?
Yes, it's actually a really common refrain these days. And I just to cite one statistic, there was a study that was done that found that there had been 87,000 references to the so-called woke military. What's odd about that is that the U.S. military has always been concerned with equal opportunity in the ranks, and nothing has really changed in what it does. So this is more a perception or an idea that's being spread from the political side and not from within the military. While you can probably, you know, the military is large, there's a lot of different people in it. While I'm sure you can find people that have concerns about personnel policy or the like within the ranks, for the most part, this isn't a concern coming from the military. It's something being used in sort of wedge politics by certain politicians that are trying to demonstrate or appeal to their constituencies by sort of lambasting the military for policies which aren't really much different than they've been for decades.
We're talking to Risa Brooks, professor of political science at Marquette University, expert on military-civilian relationships. She recently wrote about concerns about the politicization of the U.S. military for Foreign Affairs magazine. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you worry about the military getting drawn into partisan politics, whether members of the military want to be drawn in or not? Do you have concerns about it getting worse in a potential second Trump administration? We'll talk about that in a couple. Join in with your thoughts, questions, maybe experiences in the military yourself. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking to Risa Brooks, political science professor at Marquette University, expert on civilian-military relations. In a recent piece, she wrote that politicians, she worries, are pulling the armed forces into partisan politics. That's ultimately dangerous for national security. You could join in with your thoughts or questions at 800-642-1234. Recently, we started with Congress. Let's turn to the White House now. You have concerns about a potential second Trump administration based in part on what you saw at the end of the first and so far only Trump administration. What happened in 2020, 2021 that has you concerned?
Sure. So some of your listeners may recall that when Donald Trump was first elected, he had a bit of a love affair with the military. He appointed a lot of retired generals, including his Secretary of Defense, to his cabinet. And that faded over time, in part because some of the things that he wanted to do with the military were controversial. Among the most notable was in June 2020, when after George Floyd was killed in Minneapolis, some of you will remember, Donald Trump wanted to actually send regular military, not National Guard, active duty military to confront protesters in the street. And the military did not think this was a good idea for multiple reasons and pushed back. So by the end of the term, the last few months, actually after Donald Trump had lost the election, he made some changes. He fired his Secretary of Defense. He put in a few officials that didn't have a great deal of experience for the jobs that they were given in the Pentagon. And since that time, on numerous occasions, he's talked about his regrets that he hasn't had a more deferential, both civilian and military leadership in the Pentagon. I think there are, if you just listen to the things that he says, there may be some real pressures on the military not to act as this impartial actor that gives advice based on it, what it thinks is the best interest of the country, but to find people to serve in top leadership roles that will protect the interest of Trump as a politician, which is contrary to the tradition of this country, contrary to the sort of fundamental premise of democratic civil-military relations.
We know the president can appoint the Secretary of Defense a key role in the defense system. What kind of authority does the president have when it comes to appointing the top military officers in the country?
Yeah, so ultimately, at the very end of the day, the president has a lot of power both to put pressure on the senior most, the top level of the general officer corps and the senior military leadership. He could presumably say, I don't have confidence in you. Will you please resign? Or even potentially fire them. The Senate does oversee a lot, senior officer, mid-grade officer promotions. They also have influence. But even if they asserted that influence, you're just going to get a big mess around something that's usually routine. People are usually promoted, put into those top positions because of their careers, their talent, their experience, not because they check a particular ideological box.
If that changed, and if those top military appointees were put there because they tick an ideological box or vow, in effect, personal loyalty to the president, regardless of, say, constitutional safeguards, what do you see as a potential worst case?
I think that, one of the implications that I think is concerning is really at the very top. You know, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, by law, is the president's principal military advisor, the person that's supposed to tell them the implications of different national security plans, of using the military in wartime. And you want somebody in that position who has a deep sense of their commitment to their oath to support and defend the Constitution and to serve the American people as a whole and to protect the entire national security interests of the country. Not to be thinking about, well, if we use the military in this way, it might be an advantage to you electorally or appeal to this constituency. They're supposed to advise the president about tough decisions. And that's why that nonpartisan ethic, that impartiality is so important to the country's security. And that's true for Democrats and Republican presidents, they both need impartial military advice to best serve the country.
What do you want to hear from American political leaders here at sea from American political leaders when it comes to restoring this nonpartisan ethic in the military?
Sure. Well, I think that they need to stop putting the military in between their own policy disputes. You mentioned the situation with Alabama Senator Tuberville, and him holding up for nearly 10 months over 400 military promotions, which creates huge bottlenecks and, keeps service members from moving and their families. It's really, a big mess. And this is a dispute between Senator Tuberville and his allies and other supporters and the Biden administration, which is making the policy to allow service members to get reimbursed if they do travel to a state to get an abortion where it's illegal, where they are now based. That's a policy dispute between politicians. Holding the military that doesn't have any control over those kinds of policies in the middle of that is really bad. So they shouldn't be doing that. They should also just try to not be disparaging of the military, to just kind of leave it to the side to do its job. And I'll just add that for them to have the incentive to do that, the public has to support that. If the public rewards these kinds of shenanigans, politicians have more incentive to do that. So even if you hear a general or you think you might want the country's generals to say things that you agree with, that's not healthy and that's not good. And it creates bad incentive structures for politicians. So we as the public need to abstain from doing that, even if it might feel good in the moment.
Risa, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Risa Brooks is a professor of political science at Marquette University and an associate in the International Security Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. We talked with her about her recent article for Foreign Affairs magazine about the dangers of politicizing the U.S. military.